Broken Bulbs is a proud member of the Create Fine and is presented by Williams Redlich.
We did our best to keep up the payments on the equipment, the maintenance, but eventually the insurance just got to the point where we couldn't pay our liability insurance. And without liability insurance, you cannot operate carnival rides in the United States.
Alex Williams here to welcome you back to Broken Bulbs, the show for entrepreneurs, creators, and builders who need to keep it real. Today, I'm joined by Maxwell Ivey, also known as the Blind Blogger. Now get this, Maxwell has run a ton of carnivals, specifically skilled at making bookings. He sells carnival rides, runs a blog, sings podcasts, and does much more. But he also failed as a carny, which you might not think much of, but this was a family business, or more like a family empire. This story's a ride. That's coming up after the break. Broken Bulbs just launched, and we've already seen some great success. Thanks to people leaving reviews on Podchaser and elsewhere, Broken Bulbs made it onto Podchaser's Best Podcasts page for January. This was alongside huge shows like The Adventure Zone, The Jordan Harbinger Show, S-Town, and Reply All. You can leave a review as well, helping share the show, by going to ratethispodcast.com/bulbs. It's the first link in the show notes. Now, onto the show. Maxwell Ivey, ready to talk about one of your broken bulbs?
Well, if you've been following me at all, you know I'm always ready.
I love it. So let's talk about you being a failed carny. Can you tell me a little bit about the experience of how you first got into the carnival business and then kind of what that process looked like for you that ultimately led to what you described as a failure?
I grew up in a family of carnival owners in Texas. At one time, there were four different carnivals in the state of Texas operated by my family, the different branches. At this time, there's one family still in the business, my Uncle Albert's Carnival, which is a very large operation that travels 52 weeks a year and goes from Corpus Christi to Nebraska and back. So there, if you were a kid playing Monopoly, they won the Monopoly game. So I grew up in that environment wanting to run a carnival of my own someday. I was very fortunate to get to work alongside my dad and my brothers for over 15 years. In 2003, my dad passed away to lung cancer. Me and my brothers, we tried to keep the carnival going. We did our best to keep up the payments on the equipment, the maintenance, but eventually the insurance just got to the point where we couldn't pay our liability insurance. And without liability insurance, you cannot operate carnival rides in the United States. We joined up with my uncle, who we had competed with bitterly over the years for bookings, was not happy with that. I was like, hey, if we're going to lose to somebody, why do we have to lose to them?
I imagine you wouldn't be happy about that. So you join up with your uncle. Where do we go from there?
When we joined up with his carnival, he didn't want our rides on the Midway. So I helped sell what rides we still had left. He did not want my assistance with the bookings, which was my primary responsibility because I was great at doing the cold calling and finding out what events were available and doing that work of being told no over and over again. That was my job, my main job, besides operating some kids' games and sometimes helping set up and take down rides. So after a couple years with my uncle, I had a health emergency. I almost got kicked out of a motel in Cuernavaca, Texas for urinating on their bed. I went to a doctor who convinced me to start getting healthy. I was treated with a CPAP for sleep apnea. I had gastric surgery and lost over 250 pounds. I started my own website in 2007 called the Midway Marketplace, where I help people sell used carnival rides. And the great thing about that website is every day it seemed like I was having to learn something new. I had to learn how to hand code HTML, for example. And so I had this new thing that was all mine. It was very passionate. I was very curious about all the parts of having an online business. And so I went from wanting to be a carnival owner to realizing I could never be that again, wanting to be part of my uncle's carnival so I could stay in the business, finally accepting that wasn't going to be a possibility, then starting my own website and really becoming physically and mentally and emotionally healthy. And as a result of the carnival business going out of business and The other things I've done between there and here, now I'm known as the blind blogger. People say if bikes can do it, then what's my excuse? And I have the privilege of inspiring and motivating and challenging people all over the world because I'm no longer a carnival owner.
Wow. Wow. So this experience changed you big time. This is amazing. From going through this process, what do you think is the biggest change that you made to your life that's benefiting you to this day?
I think the absolute number one biggest thing that changed is I was able to see myself for more than what I originally thought I was. From an early age, I saw myself as only being to do and be one thing. But as a result of this process, I've realized there are so many things I'm capable of if I will employ my curiosity, my determination, my just, you know, don't know how to quit approach to life. If I, if I can get invested in a new project or a new activity and basically I just get, you know, just be curious about it or be ticked off about it to the point that I want to do more with it, there really isn't anything I can't do. And, you know, I grew up with parents who told me that even though they knew I was losing my vision and would probably eventually be totally blind, they always told me I could do anything I wanted if I put my mind to it. And of course, as you grow up, as you grow older, there are lots of things you realize that you can't do. But when I quit being a carnival owner and filed for the domain name, not having the first clue how I was going to even build a website, that began a journey. And it seems like every few days, weeks, or months, somebody will come along and go, Max, have you ever thought about, have you ever tried, would you like to know more about? And more often than not, I have said yes. And it's really shown me how much more there is inside of Max than he ever thought there was. And I think a lot of that I have to attribute to some great people that I met online along the way who were constantly telling me just that, Max, there's more in you than a guy who sells used rides.
Yeah, realizing that you're more than you thought you were and that you can do more than you thought you could. I think that's such an important lesson because so often we get caught up in this idea of who we are as individuals. And I think people can really tell that from you, that you're, you know, that you're curious and that you're interested in learning more and trying new things.
Yeah, it also means that I'm easily distracted and I sometimes have to be reminded to focus on the things I'm already doing as opposed to taking on something brand new.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, what we're both trying to get to there is the word tunnel vision. And too often as a creative person, an entrepreneur, even some podcasters, you're so focused on one goal that you don't recognize the other goals that are maybe not staring you in the face, but are at least in your peripheral vision.
How have you have kind of seen in your peripherals, you know, maybe something you should try or something that you should do or something you should be more concerned with?
Well, I don't know about recently, lately, but if we're talking about things that I hadn't really thought much about, I think about 8 years ago when I recorded my first video, I didn't have an intro for my, what people will now tell me was a podcast. So I decided to sing on the intro. And over the years, people have told me they liked it and asked me to sing more. So at a podcasting conference in 2017, after it was over with, I asked the other speakers if I could sing under the banner, you know, just to get a nice video to put in my scrapbook or to post on my YouTube channel. And they said, sure. And I sang the last verse of the river and everybody was just blown away. And the other speaker that was there, one of them, a guy named Azuka Zook, who is one of those guys who just sounds like he crawled out of the womb with a microphone in his hand, one of those kind of people. he goes, Max, from now on, I don't ever want to hear that you have. He said, I don't want to ever hear that you've spoken anywhere that you didn't sing. He said, but it's your thing. You can make it definitely part of who you are. You're good at it. It compounds the message that you're trying to send to people. And he said, someday people may even just refer to you as the singing speaker. And I'm like, okay, you obviously know more about this stuff than I do, so I'm gonna listen to you. But you know, that's one of those things. I used to be afraid to sing. People made fun of my singing when I was a junior high and high school. It took a lot of courage for me to sing on my podcast. And every time I do it now, it still takes a little bit of courage. I still feel a little bit of that, you know, teenager whose voice was changing in the back of my head. But I do it and continue to do it because it's a way I can show people that I'm living my message. But that's an example of something that I never really thought of as a thing, something I did because I needed something to do for an intro, and it has worked out really well for me. So that's something I really didn't think much of. It was kind of something, you know, just there, and it's really become part of who I am.
I think that is so cool, especially that you said that it takes courage every time that you do it, that it's not just, you know, that you just do it now. It still takes that energy and that effort. That's awesome. That is phenomenal. And of course, at the end of every episode, I like to ask the guest, what is that one bulb, that one idea that's working for you now? Feel free to brag a little bit, Maxwell, and tell us where people can find you.
Right. They can go to theblindblogger.net, or they can go to whatsyourexcuseshow.com, and they can definitely get to my website and find out what I'm up to now. My most recent project is my latest book. It's my fourth book, based on my travels as a blind person traveling the country solo. It's called The Blind Blogger's First Speaking and Signing Adventures: How You Can Conquer Your Fears. It's available on Amazon in electronic copy and paperback. And also through my website, I'll offer people the opportunity to buy signed copies from me. And even that is an exercise, because a blind guy signing a book is an adventure every time I do it. So I won't guarantee that my signature will be legible, but they'll get my best effort. And they can find that and anything else at theblindblogger.net.
I love that. We're going to have links for all of those in the show notes so that people can check that out and learn more about what you're all about. And I just want to say again, thank you for joining me today.
Well, you're very welcome. And thank you for the opportunity to share a bit of my story with people and hopefully encourage them to overcome their excuses.
And thank you for listening. Special thank you to Maxwell Ivey, the blind blogger himself, for joining me and being willing to talk about his broken bulbs. Be sure to check out his podcast, website, and book, all linked in the show notes. You can also leave us a review using the first link in the show notes. Broken Bulbs is a co-production of Williams Rutledge and Mecco Radio, and we are, of course, a proud member of the Create Find. I, Alex Williams, was your host, and apologize for it sounding like I'm whispering, because I kinda am. I have sleeping roommates. The podcast artwork was by Bethany Gustafson, and the music in this episode was by Brian Claxton and Wesley Thomas. Oh, and thanks again for listening. Mecco.